Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed and this is Marit Larwood.
Hello, listeners. It's Christmas delivered.
It's Christmas delivered, guys. So near. Now, this is a podcast all about films. Marek, have you seen a film or have I seen a film? Which one of us has seen a film?
I think in this episode about 200 and something.
Yeah.
That was possibly the worst ever.
I quite enjoyed it.
Stop.
I might just do that's a new catchphrase.
Have you seen a film? Or have I seen a film?
Which one do you want to talk about
it's
first?
It's like a poetry for sort of backward kids. We have both seen a film.
Buddy's enjoying it. Hello,
Buddy's
pal.
Buddy's up and excited.
Yes, I saw a film a while back, actually, a few weeks back now for Halloween. Took a punt on a sort of horror film, not au fait with this man's work, but had heard, you know, he's got a reputation, it might be all right. I saw Eli Roth's Knock Knock. Now, Eli Roth, for people not in the know, was responsible for the first, if not the second, and later Hostel films.
He is a torture porn man.
As well as Green Inferno, which came out more recently about people being tortured by cannibals in the rainforest or something.
And I didn't realise, if you don't want to know what he looks like, he is...
He is the Jew Bear, is his character, in Inglourious Basterds. Which I think he spoilt the joke of. Because it was sort of an in-joke that this formidable monster that the Nazis were afraid of in Brad Pitt's gang was known as the Jew Bear, and then in that scene, if you remember from Inglourious Basterds, where all you can hear is the baseball bat knocking against the walls, and then out comes, in Quentin Tarantino's mind, his short friend Eli Roth. He thought it would be funny that he's more of a sort of Wolverine berserker character than an actual bear, but because presumably he's vain, Eli Roth really, really bulked up for the part. And so spoilt the joke. But anyway. So Eli Roth's Knock Knock is a horror film starring Keanu Reeves as a father whose wife and kids have gone on a trip and he's staying at home working as an architect, as all people in American films are. And a couple of sexy ladies end up ringing his doorbell late at night saying that they're trapped in the rain.
I've seen trailers for this.
And anyway, they have ulterior motives. Yeah, so without spoiling anything past about the halfway mark, they try to seduce him and then blackmail him and all sorts of stuff. It's basically a horror story for people who can't keep it in their trousers.
So for people who bone a lot,
who are unfaithful, I guess.
And is it good,
Marek? I can tell you, I've learnt so much watching this film. Bitches be crazy.
Did he say that?
No, but I've never seen an Eli Roth film before. I didn't know what to expect. I thought at least, even if it was sort of horrible, it would at least have some sort of skill and flair to it. Mm-hmm. This is the one of the worst films I've ever seen in my entire life. That is almost what is unforgivable about it. It isn't even gory or tense. It's just inept. Basically, there's two hot women, and that seems to be their only personality traits, is that they're male fantasies. One of them's played by Eli Roth's wife, who seems to have been in his last five films. Not that that's a bad thing, but she isn't very good. And they just seduce Keanu Reeves and then make his life horrible, but without... You know the whole story thing of escalation, where... Mm. If you have something bad happen, if something else similar is going to happen, it should probably be worse. Otherwise, what's the point of it? It's just boring. Doesn't even follow that. They do a terrible thing and then some very minor things and he reacts like they're worse. Like they, I don't care about spoiling this film. It's shit. They kill his best friend at the exact point in a film where someone is supposed to die.
Is his best friend a dog?
No, his best friend is an art dealer. And then later... They break a sculpture and he acts like it's a bigger deal than his friend being killed. Like, it is so poor, this film. If you think about student filmmakers' movies, from slightly horny 19 to 20-year-olds who are suddenly given the power of writing and directing something, they nearly always make it a bit violent and hopefully try and get a hot girl to take a top off in it. Yeah. That is exactly what this film is, with no creativity or even flair for making films. It's so boring, and it just does nothing. And it's sub those student films, except it's got this weird thing that the hot girl he's convinced to take her clothes off in his film is also his wife.
She takes her clothes off?
Yeah, and screws Keanu Reeves. Like, it's really...
That is a bit weird.
It's the other one, thinking about it, who does that. But they're interchangeable. Like, it is laughably shit. I cannot understand how this man has a career.
Well, I have listened to interviews with him, and he doesn't sound like a pleasant person.
Watching this film, you wouldn't think it's like, oh, he's horrible, because, you know, there are... films that have been accused of being torture porn that are actually, you know, pretty gross and probably unnecessary, but well-made and interesting stories. The first Saw film is a very good film. The others that follow are just, you know, pap. But then sort of fun enough if you find some sort of horror tension in the fact someone is going to be hurt. That is what that stuff actually is. It's not in the seeing someone put their arm through a circular saw, it's the fact that they have to do it themselves, and the anticipation of it is actually the sort of adrenaline rush. This film doesn't even do any of that. It's nothing. The script feels like it's been written by a 20-year-old ad executive who's on coke. Like, that seems to be the view of the world that it is.
Yeah.
It's... I would guess, from watching this film, that Eli Roth is mentally subnormal. I genuinely would. It is so crap. The dialogue's abysmal. Nothing happens you care about. It's like, the moral of it that seems to be, well, if girls throw themselves at you, then of course you're going to sleep with them. You can't be blamed for that. But imagine if they try to make your life misery, hey guys? Wouldn't that be the worst? It's as retarded as that, as a premise.
Mm.
It is dog shit.
See, I've seen Hostel, and Hostel 2, I started watching it, I stopped watching. Hostel is a horrible horror film, but it is quite scary.
Yeah.
And because it's quite realistic, it's about these three American guys who decide to go to Eastern Europe, and they meet these hot girls, and they're sort of going to get pissed, and they're travelling. Yeah. And it all goes badly wrong, and they get part of this really. And it's not good, but it's a really.
That's what I was expecting. I was expecting at least an adeptly made film.
But Hostel 2, for me, really crossed the line. I heard interviews with him, and he was accused of this torture porn thing. And Hostel held its own as a film. Hostel 2 was a weird thing where there was an odd sex element to killing someone, an unnecessary gratuitous sort of violence and sexuality, and I thought there's something really unpleasant and sinister that you wouldn't... I felt like when I was watching it, this is wrong, but also this feels like some sort of pervert's, you know,
it
really
feels
wet dream.
Even Knock Knock, that is ridiculously poor, feels like it's been written by somebody with deep sexual problems and anger issues as well.
Yeah, I think it's what his... I listened to him trying to intellectualise what he was doing.
But this also had a timidity to it.
Okay.
Like, it didn't do anything interesting, you know. Like, I'm going to spoiler it. I don't care. You can fast forward if you really want to see Knock Knock. Like, ultimately, Keanu Reeves is buried up to his neck in the garden, and the greatest horror of the entire film, supposedly, is he is... A phone is put in front of him of a video of him having sleeping with one of these girls and is posted on the internet. And I'll remind you, this is about 20 minutes after his best friend has been murdered in his house.
Yeah.
And he's going, no, no, why? Why? I mean, it's such a shame Keanu Reeves has said yes to this film. Because for all, you know, people, he has his critics, doesn't he? But I think he's utterly, utterly likeable as a leading man in most things.
Yeah.
He appears to be doing a Nicolas Cage impression in this film. He's not using his own accent, which is weird.
Yeah.
He's not just being Keanu. You know, he's actually good. He's doing that more gravel and Cage.
Okay.
And sort of giving a bit of an overblown Nicolas Cage performance as well.
So don't watch it. How many Davids?
Absolutely none.
None?
No Davids whatsoever.
Zero Davids?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should listen to one of Dobby's Christmas podcasts instead.
Instead, as a palate cleanser. No, I mean, there is... This film wasn't even offensive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It didn't even manage to be that. It's just trousers.
Should we go to letters?
Yes, please.
Oh.
What?
Here's one from Terry Forbes.
What does Terry want?
He's from Aberdeen.
Aberdeen, I would die.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
It's your Scottish accent.
How's your Scots?
Scotland. Scotland.
Why are you doing a lisp for Scottish?
Scotland.
Okay.
Dear David, American Buddy, and occasionally Danielle, intrigued by your discussion about Ripley being a gender-neutral character, I read online that the remake of Logan's Run is looking to have a female lead. The Crow reboot is also going... I'm really struggling trying to concentrate. The Crow reboot is going to have a female villain... Andrea Riseborough, and of course, there's the Ghostbusters reboot. What are your thoughts on this trend? Personally, it seems like Hollywood's way of making the same old films with a modern spin. Not saying these movies won't be great, but surely it would be better to write a new movie with a decent female lead. Are there any movies which we'd like to see redone with a gender swap lead? Die Hard and Emily Blunt as Joanna McClane, for example. Or Pretty Woman with Ryan Gosling as Victor Ward. Okay, the last one's a joke. But I think that'd be good. Keep watching the films. Terry Forbes. He also says, P.S. Oh, I was surprised to read that originally Spock was going to be cast as a female character. Imagine that, Captain Kirk in a barely disguised sexual tension with Spock. Can't decide if it would have been terrible or awesome.
Is that in the original series or in the new film?
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, but for one, I think, without getting too right on about it, It's 2015 and we still don't have decent female lead characters. I mean, that's ridiculous. So, if action films specifically often don't have a sexual element to them other than flirting, so they are utterly interchangeable between gender. You can have Charlize Theron leading Mad Max Fury Road just as much as you can have Bruce Willis leading a Die Hard movie. I have no problem with it at all. And to be honest, it's going to be better for, you know, young people to see role models of both genders in all walks of life, in my opinion. So long may it continue. It would be good if there were more writers who were capable of writing in more nuanced films, leading women who weren't drips, you know, or harridans or any of the old archetypes that you get. So, no, I'm absolutely fine with it. It does seem to be the flavour of the month thing to do when I'm in Hollywood, is gender swapping to a female.
Wait, they're probably so
from a male script, and
so
I'm hoping
scared.
They're doing it for the right reasons, other than
so
they
scared.
Go, hey, there's money in that.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they're so scared of doing it because they're dicks that they think, oh, if we do it with a known franchise, we'll give it that publicity.
I mean, I think when there are as many female-led massive blockbuster films as male-led, will know that finally the money is making sense, because those guys just do what makes the money. And Marvel, which I think is Disney still, isn't it, is still terrified of doing a female-led superhero movie, like, which is bizarre, utterly bizarre. But you know, if they did it and none of us went to see it, it would only be our fault, wouldn't it?
Yeah, superhero movies are shit, though.
They are, but you know what I mean? They're almost the litmus test of what they're willing to do, because they go, they're clearly only about money, those films. Mm. And so they're going, we won't make money if Scarlett Johansson gets her own movie. That's what they're saying.
I would go and see it because I love her. Here is an email from Con Lavelle.
Con Lavelle? Okay. What accent?
He says Stan for Eminem when he sings that song, Stan.
That's just shouted. That's really annoying.
Just ignore it then.
Oh, he says for reasons that will become clear. Okay. It's just Angry American, Stan. Do you remember it?
Not really.
Dear Mr. I'm too big to call my friends. It's that
do it
thing.
Like that then.
Dear David and Merrick, first off, have any of your listeners ever mistaken an actor in a film? For years I thought that the guy playing Stan in that music video was Jeremy Renner, wearing a prosthetic nose. Why would you assume that? Only recently I found out it was actually the guy out of Final Destination, and that was his real nose. The second reason for the Stan voice is that, very much like Stan, you ain't read none of my emails, bitches. You constantly give out about not getting enough emails in, but don't read out mine. And we're not going to continue reading this one.
You can't do that.
Well, we can if we want to. We miss emails every now and again. You reading ahead, seeing if there's anything interesting
in
it?
Yeah, I'm going to carry on reading it.
Do it then.
The final thing I wanted to email about is actors becoming victims of their own success. Take the example of Jeremy Renner. I know Derry isn't his biggest fan. I agree that his recent performances have been bland, but in his early roles, he is awesome. For example, in The Town, he plays the role of a scumbag psycho and owns every scene he's in. I think he's fallen victim to a phenomenon that has hit Robert De Niro, Pacino, Spacey, Hopkins, Nicholson and Hoffman. The list goes on. If you agree that great actors often become lazy imitations or even laughable parody of themselves, why do you think this happens? Is it just they get typecast? Or do screenwriters aim to leech off the actor's image? Or they just end up doing safe gigs so they can dial it in for easy money? Keep watching the films, Con. It's casting directors.
I don't think it's just casting directors. I think as soon as you become, as soon as you reach a certain level of success, it is not just you making the decisions. You're managed. You've got a huge group of people around you telling you things all of the time. And I think, if you're slightly insecure about it, it would be very easy to believe everything you're told. They just go, the reason you're successful is this. This is exactly what people want, so you're going to do this now. Otherwise, tomorrow all this may not be here anymore. Like, with De Niro, it's different. I think De Niro is just bored of being violent because he's probably not a very violent person, and he's older now, and he's got kids. So he'll want to do more kid-friendly stuff. Of course he will. None of us want to see it, but that'll just be because he's wealthy and secure and happy, isn't it? I mean, that seems to be what happens to the older actors when they do it. They're not sort of, they've got nothing to kick against anymore because they're just so wealthy and content.
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner, Hurt Locker, he's quite good in. I just haven't enjoyed anything he's done since.
Oh, I agree. He's been a Hurt Locker, but he's just been an unlucky run, maybe. Yeah. Well, all right.
If you'd like to email us, then please do, and we will read them out eventually, or we'll forget, in which case just email us and tell us that. But you can do so at dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or you can talk to one another on Facebook /filmfandango, or you can tweet us at filmfandango, at Mr. David Reed, or at Marit Larwood.
All right, well, I went to see a film. No, I didn't.
All right, goodbye.
I watched a film I hadn't seen before. We've been playing the IMDb game, which is working away first top 300 films, and I thought, I can't bother to see that. Then I recorded a film off of television. Now, I really hate westerns.
I'm not a big fan of westerns. There's a couple of brilliant ones, but the ones that used to be on sort of like Sunday mornings on telly, I can't stand all of that stuff. There's so many of them, aren't there?
Yeah.
Bloody boring.
Because they just made studio westerns. It was John Wayne, who was drunk most of the time, just doing things by numbers, and it really put me off the whole thing. Mm.
Me too. Absolutely the same. And then, yet when you watch films like The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, or Once Upon a Time in the West, or whatever, they're brilliant.
I even thought Once Upon a Time in the West was quite boring.
Did you?
Yeah.
Isn't it copied off a Kurosawa film? And in fact, he had to acknowledge that in the end. It's so similar to one of the Kurosawa's. Anyway, I read that recently.
I watched a film that's been recommended a lot. I should see this film. It was number 242 on the IMDb chart.
You are really racing ahead in the top
250. And now it's gone up. I've given it a high rating. I gave it 9 Mareks. It's gone up to 223, probably on the strength of my...
Your one vote, which shows just how many people are voting in the top 250.
It was made in 1952. It's a Western. Can you guess what it is, listeners? It's High Noon.
High Noon. Now, who is in High Noon and what's it about?
The great thing about High Noon is got people like... Gary Cooper is the lead in High Noon. And I don't know, I've heard about Gary Cooper, but I can't remember seeing him in things... You know, a big star of the sort of 40s and 50s, well, 30s, 40s and 50s, 20s, 30s, 40s and 50s, and he died in 1961, and can't really remember seeing him in the films. I know who he was. He is the sheriff or the marshal in this town. He's got an assistant, Lloyd Bridges.
No.
Playing a straight role.
How old is he?
Lloyd Bridges is really young in this. So he's 52. So Lloyd Bridges, 1930. Well, Lloyd Bridges is... Well, he's 38 in it, but he looks much younger. And it has also the beautiful Grace Kelly. And a Mexican actress, called Katie Girardo, who looks stunning as well. So you've probably got two of the big beauties of the age, Grace Kelly and Katie Girardo. You know, the blonde and the Mexican one.
Yeah.
This is, if ever there was a triumph of casting of the leads, you've got four dream leads. So Gary Cooper gets married. The film opens. Gary Cooper's getting married to Grace Kelly.
The Marshall's getting married.
Yeah.
Big deal, I assume, in the West.
The three bad guys are coming in.
Oh, no.
To meet the bloke that Gary Cooper put in jail... 5 years ago, who's a bit of a psychopath.
And he's got out.
No, he's been found not guilty at a different court. He's arriving on the noon train.
Okay.
So the three outlaws are waiting from the train. Gary Cooper gets married. He decides to go off and have his honeymoon. And he realises he can't leave the town with this psychopath mad guy coming back. So he wants to get a posse together to try and, to fight them when they're obviously going to start kick off. It's almost like an Aesop's fable, really. It's so tightly written. You know, it's a simple story of just the marshal going round asking people, will they help him? A bit like the Samaritan,
getting the team together.
Yeah.
It's the same as getting the band back together, isn't it?
But everyone sort of not being unwilling to do it. It's so simple...
And then it's leading up to a confrontation, is that
it?
Perfect.
And you've got the whole thing that's been used in many films before, of the ticking clock. You've got the sort of song... you would have heard from the westerns.
Have you played any of the Mass Effect games on the Xbox or PlayStation or whatever? Just a little aside, that is the exact structure of those games. where you go around getting a team together and you're leading up to one final showdown at the end. Some great structure.
It's so simple and it looks great. Gary Cooper's just, you can tell, he's almost, he looks, you know, he's had his twilight, he's in the end of his, as an older man, he's just getting to the age now where he's too old to be the old leading man. He looks
but
a bit
tired. You think he needs a posse. Yeah. So you don't believe he could do
Lloyd
it on his
Bridges
own.
Is this young buck who wants to be have his own things. They've all got their own, all the characters seem to have their own stories. Grace Kelly's in love with him, but she feels that he's let, he puts a tan before her. Katie Girardo, who he saw before, is this sort of dark Mexican woman. She's stunning. She owned this bar. So you've got two real, and purely two, you know, quite sexist way, two real on-screen beauties, but yeah, who also aren't just...
Do they join in the defence of the town?
They're two characters in their own right, with their own stories.
Okay.
It's just, it feels like a really great, simple, well-done, classic film. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I give it 9 Marics.
Oh, great.
If you're put off Westerns for the fact it's like, oh, just people, you know... I think, like you, I've got stuck in my psychology that it's boring Sunday afternoon, terrible films,
yeah,
rubbish shooting things. This isn't about this. It's about something else. It looks beautiful. You've got great actors. Watch High Noon. A brilliant Western.
Well, there you go. There you go. We haven't checked in with the IMDb game recently. Have you moved?
I haven't done City Lights yet. I'm just covering all my other gaps.
All right.
Watch High Noon, give it a high rating, push it up IMDb. So
now, I think you've just found a way to game the IMDb game of simply go around giving very high ratings to films you have already seen until you've seen the entire list. Pay people, maybe some people in countries with poor economies, to rate IMDb films you've already
it's
seen.
It's not that important, this game.
Well, there's a pretty good... prize for winning, isn't there? Which is the status of having won the IMDb game on Film Fandango. Well, High Noon, I want to see it. Well, thank you everybody for listening in. We will be back next week with yet more films.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.